So, Jasmine, did you see me almost break my leg when I went into the bathroom?
Yes.
Can I ask why the sign on the bathroom in the studio says, warning, step down? But when the door is open, you don't see the sign, and you step down.
Okay, you should read the sign.
But the sign's on the inside of the... All right, 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNPlus.com. Every Monday, new episode. Well, usually a new episode is posted on the WGNPlus.com website. Last week, I had to send a reminder email to new producer Jasmine because I went up there and I didn't see it as the morning went on. And I'm very grateful for the fact that there are several people that had alerted me to this. Jim, where's the podcast? Where's the podcast? Are you still on? Everybody's worried I'm not going to be on. I don't know if that's good or bad. So I just sent a nice, It's just a small reminder email that I hope did not convey any anger or disappointment, but just a little tweak. Is that what it was there? Why don't you... You could turn that down, so because you're on that same mic there.
Slight embarrassment.
So what?
Yeah. Just like slight embarrassment.
No, it was fine. You're a busy gal. I understand that. You've got a big, high-powered job now.
I guess.
This damn podcast is just a thorn in your side.
Oh, my gosh, Jim.
I understand.
I didn't say that, management. I didn't say that.
I did. But it was no big deal. And as I say, as long as it gets posted, that's fine. But it was funny because, and as I said before we started the podcast today, the only reason that it came to my attention was because in the few weeks that Jasmine has begun to work on this podcast, she has been very diligent.
Well, thank you.
In putting the podcast up very early on Mondays, which is great, so people can access it. So when I didn't see it go up early in the morning, I was just a little surprised and a little worried. So that was the only reason that I sent that, because I assumed that probably you were very busy with your real job, and it may have slipped your mind. So I just hope that I didn't.
Well, Jim, usually you wake up with the first thing on my mind is post
podcast. I don't even wake up with that. So as I said before we started the podcast, the for some reason there's a bathroom in this studio where we do the podcast. The door is usually closed, and there's a sign on the door that says in red that says warning, step down. Now I remember I worked in this studio. We worked when this studio first opened about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when most of the WGN offices and complex moved from the ground floor to the seventh floor here at the Tribune Tower. This was a new studio, and we actually had to work here during the afternoon show for about a month or two they had to connect all the wiring to the showcase studio that's still down on the first floor. So I'm certainly familiar with this studio. But for some reason, I don't know, my bladder just doesn't act up when I'm doing radio. So I'd never really even, I don't think I've ever used that bathroom. And I was surprised today to walk in the studio and see the light on and the door open. And one reason why I really like Jasmine is because she seems to be very anal like me, very organized. And I like things in their place.
I agree.
Yeah, and so I was actually very impressed because I was actually just going to do this. There is a row of chairs on the other side of the console here in the studio that were askew. They were all moved in different directions instead of being nicely placed and tucked underneath the tabletop in a nice straight line. And all the microphones were just kind of all over the place, and it just kind of drove me crazy. And that's why I walked over to the bathroom, because the bathroom door open with the light on just didn't seem right as the way it should be in here. And so I walked over first. I was going to do the chairs, but that light in the bathroom was driving me crazy. So I went first to the bathroom to remedy that problem. And then was going to swing around on my way back to the main microphone here and organize the chairs so that everything was in nice order. But so two things happen. As I go to turn the light out, there is a – I never knew this because I don't think I've ever used this bathroom. There's a huge step. It's got to be a 5-inch drop, if not more. And so I'm assuming that the floor of the bathroom is even to the floor of the studio, and I take a step and boom. Now, I didn't fall, but it certainly was a shock, and I was kind of like, whoa, what the heck was that? And then, of course, then I look to my right, and on the door that was all open, there's the sign that says, warning, step down. Well, you can't see the warning sign if the door's open. So, gang, if you're going to use the bathroom, A, shut the light out, B, close the door to allow the next person to read the sign. Because if not, it's a death trap. And the only reason that I'm paranoid about this, and if you've listened to me with any kind of regularity, you'll know that 2 years ago I was doing a play, and thanks to a mix-up as to where the set was placed, where it was supposed to be and where it was, opening night, within the first 20 minutes of the show, I fell off the stage. And I didn't rupture, but I tore, to some extent, my Achilles tendon within 20 minutes of the show. But trooper that I am, just like I am today, even though I almost killed myself in the bathroom, I am a trooper, and I will continue to do the show. The show must go on. But I am a little paranoid now whenever I take a step down and there's no floor there from that scary thing a couple of years ago. I'm still kind of recovering from that Achilles injury. Thankfully, I didn't have surgery, but it was ugly, and it was swollen, and it was very time-consuming, and physical therapy and casts and boots and the whole spiel. So thankfully, when I almost killed myself today, that this at least maybe I'm looking at it now, it may even be a foot. It's a pretty sizable drop. I don't know why they would have built the floor that way, but thankfully I stepped on my other foot, on my right foot, which gets us interestingly, and that was completely unplanned, but Elton Jim, king of the segues, gets me to what I want to talk about, because I want to talk about today is my right foot. So this is perfect. So I was looking at a story in the newspaper, and it was saying how, and this is, once again, our health system in this country is really something that we really do need to fix and to establish something. So now I saw the story, and it hit me because I was involved in something with this just this past week. Some insurance companies are now disputing and may not cover if you go to the emergency room of a hospital and they deem that what you went in for was not serious enough to warrant you going to the emergency room, which is obviously much more expensive than one of these new urgent care centers that are popping up everywhere. And so there were several instances where people had $2,000 or $3,000 bills after they went to the emergency room for some kind of an ailment, and their insurance company said, no, 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 we're not paying that, because that was not seriousness enough. You could have went to a urgent care facility, which is much cheaper, and got your treatment there. You didn't need to go to the emergency room. So first of all, once again, you know, we pay every month for this insurance, and then every time you make a claim, they're always giving you a hard time. It's a very odd adversarial relationship when it really shouldn't be. You know, when you're signing up for the insurance, all those commercials, everybody's really happy and they're always smiling about how great it is that they're going to help you when you need it. And then when you make a claim, then the claws come out. And the one thing that many of the people that were disputing these charges that they would have to pay in sizable amounts, and I don't blame them, is they said, well, wait a minute. I'm not a doctor. How do I know what I have is not serious? I only know it's serious after I go to an emergency room and they take some pictures, take some x-rays, take some ultrasounds, and then they say, oh, here's what it is. So the insurance company is actually kind of making this decision after the fact, like, oh, well, you only had that. And the patient, rightfully so, is saying, but wait a minute. How do I know what I have unless I go into the emergency room and get it treated? And I'm not a doctor. All I know is I'm in pain. And I want to be attended to as quick as possible. If I'm suddenly in pain, I mean, obviously, if it's a chronic thing or I've got something that hurts, you make an appointment with your doctor. But if there's some sudden pain, you're up in the middle of the night, you're getting a shooting pain somewhere or something like that, you go to the emergency room. And let's not forget, many of these urgent care places are not open 24 hours. They're open from 8 to 8. So what if it is 10:30 at night? I don't know if what I have is serious or not, so I go to the emergency room, 24-hour service. That's the idea. So I thought that was really that's something that insurance companies need to reassess, because we are not doctors, and it's not fair to judge us after the fact and say, oh, well, that wasn't serious enough. Well, how do I know it's serious? Which leads me to my story about my right foot. So I talked in the last podcast, I told you we went on this very nice, beautiful trip to Lake Tahoe, had a great time. So we came home on a Thursday, and everything was fine and fantastic and, you know, getting back into the groove of real life. And on Sunday afternoon, I just noticed that my right foot, the top of my right foot, right by where my just a few inches down from my big toe, in fact, kind of itched, which I thought was strange. I kind of itched and it felt a little sore, but nothing big, so I didn't think much of it. Woke up Monday morning, next day, 2 or 3 days after after this vacation, which I had no pain whatsoever. And I noticed a small, maybe a dime-sized circle, a little red circle, right in that spot that itched the day before. And I looked down and I said, wow, you know, what's that? Wasn't there yesterday. And it kind of hurts. Not crazily, but it still now hurt more than it did the day before, and there's this little red spot. And so I said, wow, I wonder if I got bit by a spider or something. So, of course, like we all do now, thanks to the good old internet machine, jumped on there and self-diagnosed, and I just hit spider bite, and it kind of looked like a spider bite. And they said, well, you know, spider bite, unless it's like a black widow spider, unless you're vomiting and you have a fever, it might just be, nothing crazy. Not like a black widow that could actually be, poisonous and maybe fatal. So I'm seeing pictures of what my little red spot looks like, and so I think, well, it's a spider bite. But I looked close, and I didn't see a puncture wound anywhere. I actually pulled out a little magnifying glass. Didn't see a puncture wound, so I'm like, well, maybe it was a small spider with small teeth. Maybe it was a baby spider. Didn't know what he was doing. Just nicked me. Didn't get in there for the kill. Well, the next day, the red spot is much bigger on the top of my right foot. And now my foot is getting swollen. And I've always been made fun of for my feet. If you ever watch the cartoon, The Flintstones, I've been accused of having Fred Flintstone feet, big giant feet, which I do. And big toes. My big toe is big. I got a big toe. So actually, it's hard to find out or even know if my foot is swollen because they always look swollen. But I could tell this was swollen because it was starting to hurt. So I go online once again, spider bite, and it says, you could put ice on it to take the swelling down, and it should go away in a couple of days. So I say, okay, fine. So I'm icing it for most of the day on Tuesday. And it seems to go down. And but then I'm not keeping it out all the time. And as soon as I take the ice off, it kind of starts to swell up a little more. But it seems to be under control. So that's Tuesday. On Wednesday, it just seems to not be the swelling. The foot is getting more red. The swelling is now spreading to not just where that little round circle is, but it's actually spreading out to the other side of my foot and even up toward my big toe. By midnight, my foot felt like it was going to burst. It really hurt. It was swollen. And my big toe was so swollen that I couldn't even bend my big toe at all. And so I was going to, I went online and I saw the urgent care place open at 8 o'clock, and I said, well, I have to go to the doctor. If this is a spider bite, I need some antibiotics. I need something because this is not just going to go away. So I'm saying to myself at about, 11 o'clock at night when these things start to flare up, I'll just wait and I'll go to the urgent care because I don't know if this is really something that does need an emergency room kind of treatment. But an hour later, by midnight, my foot was tender and just so swollen, almost, I don't know if it was two times the size, but it certainly was much bigger than my other foot. And it was killing me. It felt like it was going to burst. And like I said, my big toe especially. So it was like midnight. My wife was already in bed. And I went upstairs and I said, look, I don't think it's anything major here. I don't think you need to get up and come with me. But I have to go to the emergency room because this is not right. So, of course, she's like, oh, no, I'm going to come with you. Okay, fine. So I barely got my shoe on. In fact, I couldn't even put my whole foot in my shoe. I had to just put the front in. I didn't even tie it. It was so swollen, and it really hurt. So I go to the nearby hospital emergency room because I just couldn't wait till 8 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know what was going to happen here. I didn't know what was going on. This is my point about this insurance thing. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I was in real pain. My foot was killing me. It had been getting progressively worse over the next 2 days. And I didn't want to wait till 8 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know what would happen in the next 8 hours. So I went to the emergency room. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio. So go in, and thankfully the waiting room wasn't jammed with people. It was about 12:15 by the time we got there. There was a few people waiting in there. And so we sign in and just kind of sit there and wait. And, in the emergency room, they kind of triage you, depending on the severity of your ailment. I mistakenly, when the guy said, well, what kind of pain are you in? I should have just said, I'm in 10. Because that probably would have got me, looked at a little sooner. But I was like, well, it's not too crazy, but it really hurts. I would say 7 or 8. I guess 7 or 8 doesn't merit very much in the emergency room. Took us 45 minutes to finally have someone come in and say, well, they're going to take an x-ray of your foot. I gave some preliminary information of what was wrong. And I said, well, you know, it's not broke. And they said, well, that's, we know that, but, you know, the x-ray can show other things in terms of swelling and things like that. So, okay. I took that about 1 o'clock, 45 minutes in, came back, sat down, and waited to see a doctor. At 3 a.m., 2 hours later, sitting in the waiting room, foot just pounding now, got my foot elevated, it's killing me. I'm finally taken into a room. Another young student doctor comes in and asks me the same preliminary questions, and I tell him what's going on, and he takes a look at it, but he doesn't really know what's going on. So he takes that information down, and that was about 3:30. Waited for him for about a half hour. He came in about 3:30. At 4:30, finally saw a legitimate doctor, and I had to explain to her what happened and what I was feeling. And she brought in this little ultrasound machine and started looking at it. And she said, well, I'm trying to see if it's infected or not. I don't think it's a spider bite. It looks like it. Although the first thing she said, what, did you get bit by a spider? So at least I knew I wasn't crazy. But then she looked at it closer. She says, no, I think this is an abscess or an infection. And I had about a week or so before, I probably caught it at my health club. I had some, like, athlete's foot on that same big toe. And she said, well, you know, your skin was a little broken here, so maybe some bacteria got in through that athlete's foot and just got into your foot. And, you know, it's clearly infected. It's not crazy yet. With her ultrasound, I don't see a lot of infection, but clearly your foot is swollen and there's a red mark there, so we'll put you on some antibiotics and everything should be fine. But then she said, well, you know, you just flew. So there is chance sometimes for blood clots if you're on a plane for a long period of time. Why don't we do a deeper ultrasound down your whole right leg just to make sure there's nothing up farther up on your leg? And okay, fine. 2 hours later is when I finally had that done. I got there at 12:15 a.m. It's now 6:30. I have not had one pill or anything. My foot is still not treated. We're still taking pictures and everything. I finally get this deeper ultrasound done down my whole leg. No blood clots there. Didn't expect that. Anyway, and then he put the ultrasound on the affected area, and he said, you know, this doesn't really seem infected in terms of, I don't see any major infection here, but I do see a small little blood clot in one of your veins. So that's probably what's causing the swelling. You know, who knows? You might have something called thrombophlebitis, whatever that is, or cellulitis, which is the infection. They didn't know which one. At 7:30, the doctor comes back and she says, well, good news. I don't really think it's an infection. It's not an abscess, but there is probably some little infection happening, so we'll give you some antibiotics. But the good news is it's just a very superficial blood clot that you may have injured your foot. And where that little red spot was, I had, the day before this whole thing started, I was at the health club and I was on the stationary bike. And when you put your foot in that cuff to keep your foot in there, that's right where the first red spot was. So maybe over a long period of time, because I do use the stationary bike quite a bit, or maybe that day, you know, that cuff may have cut in and hurt a superficial vein somewhere. Not a major vein. It wasn't a major blood clot. It wasn't a major vein. They called it superficial. But it's enough to, you know, cause a little problem. I was there for 7.5 hours at this point. They're going to give me some antibiotics, but they didn't yet. They still didn't. Now, don't forget, the reason I went to the emergency at midnight was because I didn't want to wait till 8 o'clock in the morning. I didn't think I could wait that long because I was worried about my foot. And here it is, 7:30. I could have waited. It took me 7.5 hours. I didn't get any antibiotics. It was as if I was sitting at home with my leg elevated. Only I had some pictures taken over the span of 7 hours. By 8:15, The doctor finally came back and said, okay, we're going to discharge you. I said, well, what should I do? She says, well, I'll give you some antibiotics. And I said, what do I do about this this swelling and this thrombophlebitis you're telling me? You say it's not serious, but what do? I have a blood clot. And she says, oh, well, put a warm compress on it. Oh! We left at 8:45. Got there at 12:15. And at the end of the day, got an antibiotics, which I expected to get, and was told to put a hot cloth on it. That was 9 hours. 9 hours. I was really trying to keep my cool throughout this, but I didn't scream, obviously, but I was just a little perturbed because I'm sitting there for hours just waiting for this ultrasound. I waited 2 hours for an ultrasound. And I expected why. The ultrasound person wasn't at the hospital. They didn't get in there until 6:30. Well, then why are we ordering it? Or at least tell me, you know, there's no one here. Maybe you want to come home and come back? Because I'm just sitting in this room. And, you know, if you've ever been in a hospital room, especially in an emergency room, and you're not feeling well, just sitting there not being attended to is almost worse than the ailment you have. Oh. And then I leave there with very little satisfaction. A, yes, I'm happy it's nothing serious. But B, at the end of the day, I waited 9 hours almost to be told to put a hot compress. Unbelievable. And so when I'm sitting there, I said, I could have sat at home and gone to the urgent care place at 8. So we finally get out of there, and I put the warm compress on, and I was just, I couldn't believe that at the end of the day, that's all that I got. In fact, when I asked one of the nurses at one time, I said, you know, why is this taking so long? And there, I understand you're in an emergency room and there's people sick. There was a little kid that came in, you know, with sniffles, and obviously the little kid gets to go first because, you know, it's a kid that has a cold that could be more serious. I understand how the triage works. But while I was there for those 9 hours, there were no 20 car accidents coming into the ER. There was nobody being helicoptered in to the ER. In fact, I looked outside my little curtain and I saw people just sitting at, you know, nurses and doctors just kind of sitting around at their computers. There was no real major emergencies going on. I even asked, I said, does a gunshot wound take 9 hours? I mean, I know my foot's swollen here, but I don't think I've got a 9-hour ailment. I could only imagine what the bill is going to be for my 9-hour stay, which at the end of the day was I was told to put a hot compress on and take a couple of pills. Thankfully, I went to a follow-up with my doctor, and he actually gave me some more antibiotics because the foot still wasn't completely healed from the infection. It was infected, actually. And I did put the warm compress on, and that did help, but it seemed like it really was more of a bacterial infection that got in. So I'm still healing to some extent. So that didn't help me today, tripping down that stair. But if you've listened, as I've said, over the last couple of years, I've had a series of nothing majorly serious ailments, but many consecutive little crazy things that happen. So when I went on November 2nd, to the emergency room, you know, they give you that little wristband. Well, I've just decided I'm not taking the wristband off. I wear a bracelet on my right arm, and that's where they put my wristband. I still have my hospital wristband on my right arm because I figure, let me just keep it on here from now on. So the next time I go in, I could just show them my band, and they could just barcode me in. No need. I'm already listed. My wife's like, when are you going to take that thing off? And I'm like, you know, I'm actually just going to keep it on now. It's kind of funny. It's just reminding me of all these crazy little ailments I've had over the last couple of years, and this is no exception. So thankfully, it is clearing up, and my Fred Flintstone feet are getting back to normal Flintstonian size. But perfect example of what I'm talking about with the insurance companies, my foot was killing me. And yes, I did think of going to the urgent care, but it wasn't open. And I was in a lot of pain, and I was worried. My foot was swelling. At the end of the day, it wasn't serious, thank God. But how do I know that until I go and get treatment? So I think, you know, the insurance companies have to rethink this, because you can't go after the fact and say, well, you shouldn't have gone for that. Well, how do I know? I'm sitting here with a Fred Flintstone foot and a giant toe. And it felt like it was going to burst. It's getting bigger by the moment. So, I still say, when in doubt, go to the ER. But please, ER people, I don't know what it is, but, oh, we've got to find a way to speed that up. If there's some emergency that's coming on and you see on television, you know, and I understand that when there's major accidents or something, but the ER that night, or that morning, I should say, was very quiet, and I don't know how it took me 9 hours. So at the end of the day, the doctor basically said what most doctors say. Take two pills, put a hot compress, and call me in the morning. And welcome back to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. And now we take a stroll to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Amornetti. How you doing, Emily?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, I don't know. Did you hear the last part of that with my foot?
Only the tail end of it. So I have no idea what the malady or injury was.
I have another malady.
I only know it involved urgent care of some sort and take two pills and go yeah. in the morning.
Well, I had.
So now I'm like curious.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we're still not sure the total thing, but all I know is my foot swelled up within a couple of days. Huh. I either had cellulitis, which is kind of an infection in your foot that I may have gotten mm-hmm. through having some athlete's foot on my big toe and a bacteria got in.
Okay.
Yeah. Or something, or even, but this one's great because this sounds so cool. Thrombophlebitis.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, which basically means I had a very little superficial blood clot in a very superficial vein at the top of my foot that caused the swelling.
I was actually gonna, based on your description, I was actually gonna diagnose you with gout, but okay.
Oh, you know, good for you. No, very good for you, because I mean, that was one of the look at you.
Was that one of the possibilities?
Yes, all diagnostic. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. They said,
I'm a mom, you kinda have to be able to diagnose.
Yeah, but little kids don't get gout.
Well, no, but, jeez. I mean, hey.
Yeah, the gout is like a painful thing. So when I went in, I first thought I had a spider bite because I had this small little round circle and it was swelling. So I thought it was a spider bite.
But clearly the brown recluse has paid you a visit.
Look at you! That's exactly one of the spiders that I looked up, brown recluse! Yes!
You did what, like, all doctors hate. You were Googling.
Oh, I know. They said the two spider bites you have to worry about are the black widow and the brown recluse. And then the other ones are fine. And I didn't have a fever, and I wasn't upset stomach or nauseous. So I knew I wasn't bit by one of the serious ones. I thought maybe it was just a starter spider. Because I didn't really see any puncture bites, but no. So I had this thrombophlebitis or cellulitis. But basically they said, here's some antibiotics and put a warm cloth on it. And I was in the emergency room for 9 hours.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So.
Can you walk?
Well, I can now. I mean, now it's clearing up. I mean, okay. this was on August. What was on? Let me look on my wrist, on my emergency room wristband, which I am not taking off.
Oh, come on.
I am not taking it off. So I was there on November 2nd. Yeah. So
that was a couple of weeks ago.
Thankfully now it's clearing up and I'm still taking the antibiotics. And
You have a new accessory, a new bracelet.
I do have a new bracelet to go along with my troll bead bracelet. It's on the same.
Just in time for the holidays.
Yes. Yeah, no, I know.
Go with your festive brooch.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a festive pin.
Your holiday brooch.
It's not a brooch, as I've said many times.
No, it's a brooch.
No, it's not a brooch.
That's
women.
Not what we're here to debate today.
No, women wear brooches. Virile men wear festive pins.
Okay, well, I've seen the brooch, but...
It's not a brooch.
You're secure in your masculinity. It's okay.
I know. That's why. It's not a brooch. It's a festive pin. Virile men wear festive pins. Thank you very much.
Right, okay.
Well, we're talking about the holidays. Once again, nice segue here. So we're looking through the pop culture world here to talk about a topic this week, and my gosh, I mean... The sexual harassment, sexual misconduct in the celebrity world, you can't even keep up with it.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? Let's get a break from that because it is dominating the news every minute, not even every day, every half hour. I mean,
poor. It's like nothing else is happening.
I mean, my gosh. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say this because I'm showing any kind of, you know, support because I don't know what the story is, but. But now they're dragging in 80-year-old George Takei from Star Trek.
Yeah,
that he groped somebody in 1972 or something.
Yeah,
I mean, my gosh, how far are we going back? Somebody's going to say, "Yeah, yo, Charlie Chaplin groped me." My God, Fatty Arbuckle. Laurel and Hardy, Laurel and Hardy cornered me in a dressing room. My God,
oh, you're going way back.
Well, yeah. Well, so is everybody. So let's get off of that. We're getting ready for the Thanksgiving holidays, and you know, Thanksgiving, of course, has become kind of a speed bump holiday. I like to call it. We're almost just passing.
Wasn't bad.
Well, we're just kind of it's there, but we're just looking toward Christmas. We're just driving toward Christmas. Thanksgiving is there. It creates a little bump. We feel it, but we're still driving past it. That's what I call a speed bump holiday.
Well, I love Thanksgiving.
Well, so do I. But it just seems like our culture. We're so fast paced that, you know, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I saw someone's Christmas tree in their window. Before Halloween. And I'm actually wondering, because I'm sort of, I always love the Christmas mood and I love to decorate. And I'm wondering about, last year I did decorate early. I decorated before Thanksgiving, but not before Halloween.
Right.
My gosh. So
you have to draw the line.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving traditions and some of the Thanksgiving trends. And one of the things that that I found that I thought we could be fun to talk about today and get your take on this. Since now, do you actually prepare a Thanksgiving meal, or do you go to somebody's house?
Well, until we moved to Austin, we would usually spend Thanksgiving with family. But now we're kind of like, well, you know, two kids, two families in different states. It's like we have to pick one. We can't do Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, we just can't travel for both. They're too close together, and it's getting too much. So now what we do is we have a Thanksgiving at our house, and the last couple of years we've had family, a mix of family and friends coming to visit, staying with us, celebrating the holiday, and I do the whole shebang.
Oh, so you do
the turkey, the stuffing.
Oh, so you're actually the hostess.
Yeah.
Look at you.
But yeah. But this year we don't have anyone coming to visit. So we invited some local friends who are also people who, you know, they've moved here in the last couple of years. And, you know, they're kind of transplants, so to speak. Yeah. And we've just invited some local friends over for Thanksgiving dinner. But until a few years ago, we would do it at family, with family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's
what do you guys do? Do you go?
We usually go to a family. It's not a very big to do anymore. most of my family, has passed away, and so it's mostly on my wife's side. It's not a huge deal. And a lot of times, we actually have gone out of town on Thanksgiving. We've gone to New York a few times, and for the parade and things like that. Thanksgiving was always my mom's holiday in the family, so it was always a big deal for me. And ever since she's passed away and stuff like that, it's not the same. So I don't really put a lot of, importance on it now. But we do still see, my mother-in-law, my wife's family, although it's not a very big meal or big, it's not a big to-do with 50 people. It's about 7 or 8 people, not that much. But here's the thing. So I love and have been a lover of the pumpkin flavor and the pumpkin spice for many years. Mm-hmm. And, of course, like everything in this country, we do nothing in moderation.
No.
And so over the last several years, pumpkin has been infused in everything, to beer and wine and of the obvious kind of baked goods. But, it's just pumpkin, which I haven't minded, but now it's become so ubiquitous that it's not even special anymore. Because it's everywhere.
Right.
I was reading a story how a lot of stores and retailers and especially a lot of local chefs have been introducing now to get a little something different because, pumpkin has been dominating everything over the last several years, have been bringing in maple-flavored things. So I guess we're having
it's a big trend now.
So we're having a flavor fight here. I mean, Merriweather and McGregor, I believe it was, had a big fight a few months ago in Vegas. But I don't think it's anything compared to pumpkin versus maple. And so that almost sounds like a boxing match. David S. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin spice v. maple.
Yeah, David, what was that, David S. Pumpkin from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah
David S. Pumpkin versus Tom Maple. But so where do you fall? I mean, are you a pumpkin fan? Are you a maple fan? Where do you fall?
Well, I'll tell you what. I remember having my first pumpkin spice experience, and it was I don't know.
Well, you never forget your first. You never forget your first.
No, I know. And it was it was probably over 10 years ago, and I was living in London at the time. We were back visiting family for the holidays, and we kind of ran out to Starbucks to get a coffee. And, I think it was, I don't know, it was one of our family members said, oh, you got to try this pumpkin spice latte, which we did. And it was oh, this is delicious, and it feels so festive. And
right, yeah.
For the holidays, and it just gave you all those feelings that they want you to feel. And so that was great. But fast forward to today.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I am firmly in this maple camp.
Wow.
I feel like the pumpkin spice has jumped the shark. We have reached peak pumpkin spice, and I'm over it.
Wow. Yeah,
Like you said, it's it's in all the obvious things now, but then it's also gotten ridiculous. It's pumpkin spice dog treats and pumpkin spice Pringles, pumpkin spice kale chips. That's a real thing.
Are there pumpkin? Really?
Pumpkin spice Caribbean style salsa. Do they even celebrate Thanksgiving in the Caribbean?
Yeah, man.
Stuff that you just can't. I can't even. I think I'm over it. I'm really officially over it.
And I'm so mad because I love pumpkin, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but see, I also think I'm liking this maple trend because I am a huge fan of salty and sweet. I don't know how
you mean
about
savory.
That.
Just salty
sweet
and sweet.
And savory.
Yeah, sweet and savory.
Well, that's I know you probably think that's a hipster thing.
Oh, it's totally. In fact, 10 years ago, if you would have used the word savory, nobody even knew what it meant. Now, everything is savory. If you watch, especially if you watch a food show. You've got guys that are you got rough and tumble kind of guys sitting there that on a garbage truck, and they're going, "Yeah, I love the savory flavor of that." I mean, everybody's using savory now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm fine saying salty still. Right. Maybe that's the old school way. But I love it. I mean, like, maple-flavored bacon. Oh, doesn't that sound amazing?
I'll tell you.
Or, you know, like, you can use it in a lot of things. You can... I actually used to always put, like, I mean, they have maple-flavored sausage now, but I used to always dip my bacon and my sausage in the maple syrup.
Exactly.
On my plate, you know?
Yeah.
Right? But well, that's back when you just did it. You just did it.
Right.
But, you know, you can, like, glaze your roasted carrots with them or pork chops, or they have, like, maple-flavored cocktails now, which I'm not, like, a huge cocktail
fan. Oh, really? They have maple-flavored cocktails?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, unfortunately, it's sounding like it's about to go the way of pumpkin spice. But
well, I think it's got a few years.
Moment, yeah. But I'm definitely firmly in the maple camp.
Well, here's the
are
thing.
Are you on board or are you
well,
clinging
well,
to your...
Well, no. Here's the thing. So I love pumpkin, especially, and I don't know if you have them there out in Austin, Texas, the hipster land of Austin. But the cool thing is, over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of places that have made pumpkin shakes, like Portillo's has an amazing pumpkin shake. And someone just told me that Culver's has a great pumpkin shake. So I'm still in the pumpkin camp. I mean, I love pumpkin bread and I love pumpkin pie. And
those things make sense, though. Those things aren't part of the pumpkin spice mania, you know.
Well, here's something that I want to taste.
Those are the more traditional pumpkin flavored things.
Yeah, well, here's something I want to taste, though. And I'm not a big coffee drinker, so I would have to make a special trip for this. Dunkin' Donuts has a pumpkin cream cheese spread for your bagel.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering how that would taste. That intrigues me. No?
I don't know.
Pumpkin cream cheese?
It probably won't taste bad, but if I'm going to eat cream cheese, I think I just want, like, some of the more traditional flavored cream cheeses, because then also you're limited to what bagel you can put it on. Like, if you have the pumpkin...
Yeah, you can't put it on an onion bagel.
Pretty much... No, or, like, an everything bagel.
Right.
You're limited. You can only have, like, a plain bagel, I think.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't know.
When, there's this company that we've been going to a local, they just opened in my neighborhood, a Fresh Time. It's like a Whole Foods without the high prices or the attitude. And they've got those bins with the bulk foods. And so they've got this area where they've got like all the trail mixes and stuff. And they've got also like bulk candy. And so my wife really likes malt balls, chocolate malt balls.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So there's this company.
I can't stand malt.
Oh, no. Yes.
I think people either love it or they hate it.
Yeah. I don't mind them. I'm not crazy about them, but she loves them. So we got, and they're not cheap, but there was this this brand called Albany's, which we never heard of, went online, and it's from Indiana, and it's fairly well known. So she went online to see what other things they may have, and they had pumpkin spice malt balls.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
No, it's not.
But I don't like malt.
Right,
I don't like malt.
See, I like a chocolate malt more than a chocolate shake. I like the malt.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she ordered some of those. So those weren't bad. But so I'm still in the pumpkin camp, but I am, like you, I am edging toward the maple for two reasons. About 3 or 4 years ago, we went to Toronto, and, you know, it's Canada, right? I mean, it's Canada.
Yeah.
On their flag is a maple leaf.
Right?
I mean, you can't get much more maple than that. Their hockey team in Toronto is called the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay?
Yeah.
It's in the title. So We go to the Starbucks there, and I'm not a coffee drinker, but my wife wanted to get a pastry in the morning. So we go to the Starbucks down the street from the hotel, and they had a maple scone, and they had a maple square, like an apple square or those kind of squares.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I just say OMG? And I don't even know what that means, but OMG. Holy cow.
Mind blown by the maple.
I was mapled, if you will.
Yeah.
We went there every day for one of these maple, because they didn't have them in Chicago. Now, I don't know if they do now.
I bet if they don't now, they'll be coming soon.
Yeah, but this was 4 or 5 years ago, and it just seemed like it was very regional to the one in Toronto in Canada, because maple is such a big flavor there. And then there's a big, like, their Dunkin' Donuts in Canada is a place called Tim Hortons. So Tim Hortons everywhere.
Yes. No, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I've never been to one.
But. Yeah, they're all over the place. It's like a Starbucks. It's everywhere. And so they had a maple glazed donut, which was pretty good too. Wasn't as good as the maple square and the maple scone, but it was pretty close. So I suddenly, my palate became very susceptible to be from the temptress maple. I mean, I've got my pumpkin is my mistress, but maple is a temptress.
Yeah.
And so, but the kicker is that we went to Lake Tahoe a couple weeks ago, a month or so ago, and we had, like you just said, we had a BLT at this restaurant for lunch, and it was maple bacon with brown sugar.
Oh, wow, yeah.
OMG, 2 exclamation points. You think maple bacon is good? Put a little brown sugar on it. Holy smokes.
Well, see, there you go. Now, when you see BLTs, that's an easy thing to make at home, right?
Yeah.
You've got some brown sugar in your, in your pantry.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh.
See?
And here's the other thing. So I go to this Fresh Time, like I said. And it's supposed to be, you know, obviously it's very produce oriented with the fresh and everything, but the whole idea, there's a lot of organic stuff, and it's they don't have a lot of the name brand things. It's kind of a quasi health place, as I said. It's kind of like Whole Foods, but it's a little cheaper and not as much attitude. Yeah. And people actually wear makeup there, which is nice.
Do you find the lack of makeup?
I don't see a lot of people wearing makeup.
Offensive.
In Whole Foods, I don't see a lot of people wearing makeup.
They're just wearing non-GMO.
Oh, yeah, okay,
Range makeup.
Yeah, they're wearing stuff made out of yeast. Yeah, okay.
It's harder to see.
Yeah.
Made of nutritional yeast.
Exactly.
Nutritional yeast, yeah.
So we're walking down the aisle, and what's so funny, you go, you know, today it's unbelievable how much cereals cost, you know, just regular cereal.
Oh, yeah.
Box of cereal, you know, $4, $3.50, $4. And then when you get the bag of the actual cereal, it's never as big as the box. It's never as filled in that bag. That's a whole kind of, you know, ripoff as well. But, you know, you go to a place like a Fresh Time or a Whole Foods, and you are seduced by the packaging and by the atmosphere because, oh, this is, you know, supposed to be good for you. And they're smart the way they package it. So when I see a $3.50 or $4 box of cereal, I balk at that and say, pshaw to you. I'm not going to spend $4. But for some reason, when this granola cereal is in a plastic Ziploc bag, it seems much cooler.
Okay.
It's still as expensive as the regular cereal, but for some reason, I don't balk at that. I don't know why, but at this Fresh Time, their own brand, they had a maple granola cereal. OMG with 3 exclamation points.
See, now I'm starting to think that you are firmly in the maple.
I know.
I think this is.
Well, I feel bad because I feel.
Temptress. You are firmly in the camp.
I know. Because I feel like I'm cheating.
Past that.
I feel like I'm cheating on my pumpkin spice.
On your beloved pumpkin spice.
There was sporty spice. There wasn't a pumpkin spice in the Spice Girls, was there?
There was no one. Maple spice.
No, was there maples? There was just a sporty. What were the others?
Oh yeah, there was sporty. I don't know. I was never really.
Oh no,
spice,
I don't think there was pumpkin spice. But I have.
There was baby spice.
Baby spice, right?
What was Victoria Beckham? She's the one we should know because she's like the most famous.
Yeah, right.
Girl.
What was her name?
What was she? She was
Posh. She was Posh.
Posh. She was Posh.
And what wasn't Mel B? Somebody Nasty Spice or.
Nasty Spice.
Wasn't she though? She was kind of some kind of bad.
I don't know.
Yeah, but
if only there were a way.
If we only had a device that we could look this up. Oh, if someone would have just invented. Please, somebody invented it. Somebody invent a device where you would have instant information at your fingertips. If somebody could do that, I guarantee you they'd make $1 billion.
Okay, but, you've got Scary Spice. Baby spice.
Yeah.
Sporty spice. Oh, okay. This is a good one. This is a good seasonal one. Ginger spice.
Ginger spice.
Yes, there was a ginger spice.
Well, you know what?
They just needed a pumpkin spice. Maybe if they ever reboot.
We need a pumpkin spice. Girl. So I feel like I'm still in love with pumpkin spice, but I'll tell you. I feel like I'm cheating on my pumpkin because I really am enjoying the maple taste. And I, like you said, you know, is there anything better than maple syrup? There can't be. I mean, a good maple syrup on pancakes or on eggs or on sausage.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You have to get the good stuff. See, we only buy, like, there's certain things my husband will be like, grumble because I spend 10 cents more on, you know, Charmin and whatever, than the junky, you know, toilet paper.
Right.
Or, you know, paper towel, weird stuff like that. But he will not have anything but the best maple syrup in the house, and I do think that is the way to go because a lot of the, you know, like the cheaper ones are just, they're just full of sugar and that's all you taste.
Yeah.
So I am a firm believer that when it comes to maple syrup, you have to have like the real, you know, from like Vermont or Canada. You know, you've got to like get the real stuff, and you pay extra for it, but it's totally worth it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some times where you just need to treat yourself, and you can't pinch the pennies on some of that stuff. Now, here's the other thing too. I was also looking at this thing about Dunkin' Donuts. As I said, I don't really go to Dunkin' Donuts because I'm not a coffee drinker. But so they're playing both sides of the fence. That's why they're screwing me up because not only do they have like munchkin, like they have pumpkin munchkins and pumpkin, regular donuts and things like that, but they also have, and get this, this is new this year, a new maple sugar bacon breakfast sandwich.
Now, oh my goodness.
Now, how good does that have to be? Maple, as I said, I had this brown sugar thing, so it's got to be similar to that. So an egg with a maple sugar bacon and on a nice roll?
If I'm going to have that amount of like calories and carbs,
right.
I would say that I would be going for that, you know, the maple special sugar breakfast sandwich versus like some stupid pumpkin spice donut.
Yeah. Well, see, once again, sadly, because to your point, you know, now, you know, pumpkin is just so widespread that now look at the way you just described it. You said just some stupid pumpkin donut. I mean, look
I'm
at that.
Over it.
I know 10 years ago you said, oh my God, I had the most delicious pumpkin bread. Or I had the most delicious, you know, pumpkin, donut.
I
and now
you,
it's
I
a stupid pumpkin
first
donut.
Pumpkin spice latte like it was yesterday.
Yeah. And in fact, Edie's has a pumpkin pie ice cream where they even, it's slow churned. They put the pie crust in the ice cream, too.
See, I'm okay with that. That to me makes
really
sense.
Good.
That
it's
makes
really
sense.
Good.
That doesn't feel like someone just decided, you know, with some random product, like, let's make a pumpkin spice version.
Yeah, no, I tell you.
That to me makes sense.
It's tough.
Now,
so
I'm surprised in all of this, though, mm-hmm. that you have not once mentioned any form of Glade air freshener or a candle. I mean, surely there's got to be like a pumpkin spice.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, that's you know. Not. Well,
is
I'm
there,
still.
Do you know?
Well, I'm still. See, once again, as I'm very loyal. That's why I have problems.
You're still ensconcing yourself in cashmere.
I still cannot leave my once again, my cashmere woods with hints of amber.
Cashmere woods, that's right.
Cashmere woods with hints of amber, citrus.
Yes.
And yeah. And what was the other one? Amber, citrus, and something else. But yeah, no. I brought a can. I'm doing some overnights here. On WGN Radio, and I've got a can in my briefcase for this week.
Just to spray in the studio.
Yes, and we have a little candle holder, like, you know, like those candle things that are, they kind of have like little four little you like five or like maybe 10 little spots where you like in a triangle, you get them at Pier yeah. One, you know, where you put the candles on the little yeah. thing. I've got all cashmere woods. Candles on there.
Wait, like just at your house, or are you bringing those?
No, those are at my house. No, those are at my house.
I was going to say.
Yeah,
like
no.
Traveling,
no, I'm
you're
still,
traveling with your
yeah. So I'm still
cashmere Miss paraphernalia.
No, I'm very loyal. So I'm still loyal to Cashmere Woods. She's
okay.
Cashmere Woods is like my longtime companion. Pumpkin uh-huh. spice is like a mistress, but I have to say. That the maple flavor is quite the alluring temptress now,
and you think you're just being tempted. I'm telling you, you're in. You're
really
knee deep.
Yeah, it does. You know, I didn't think that until I said it out loud. But the more I'm talking about it, I have had more maple stuff recently.
Yeah, and talk to me after all the holidays are over.
So okay? So what will you be? What will you be making? Will you be making anything with a maple or a pumpkin flavor for your big dinner?
You know what? Actually, it's funny you should ask that. But typically, and I think I did this last year, so I do typically do at least like a maple glazed root vegetable dish of some sort.
Nice.
With, like, some carrots and some parsnips. And
yeah.
then you glaze them, you roast them. It's like a little bit of maple, maybe a little...
When did you become so domesticated? When did you become so domesticated?
I don't know. I know. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing, here's how I feel. And especially like the last couple of years, given that people are traveling to spend Thanksgiving with us, I feel
right.
a massive,
right.
I wouldn't call it pressure, but I feel like
yeah.
I need to really make this good because,
yeah.
you know, you don't want to screw up anyone's Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, that's a big thing.
Well, it's the only holiday we have that's based just on gluttony.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about food.
You know, and everyone has their go-to things that they need to have on Thanksgiving. Like, for some people, it's like mashed potatoes. I mean, obviously, for everyone, it's turkey. But the sides are very important. You know, some people grew up having, like, green bean casserole, which I don't do that, but I maybe do a little bit of a version of that. I do, like, green beans with some, you know, crisp shallots.
Nice.
I like for people to not be sad that they decided to spend their Thanksgiving
right. well,
at
that's,
my
well,
house.
Well, so, that's the sign of a good hostess.
Yeah, I feel like I have to deliver. So I do that. I do the root vegetables. And then last year, we did a Brussels sprout, like a roast Brussels sprout, and it had like a maple, maple and bacon. It was maple and bacon. Now, I know a lot of people still don't like Brussels sprouts. I actually do like Brussels sprouts, and not because I'm like, you know, getting on the hipster bandwagon.
No, you know what? I discovered Brussels sprouts about 7 years ago, and I really like them now. And I never had,
yeah.
I never even had one in my life until about 7 years ago. And now I really like Brussels sprouts. They're kind of like mini cabbages,
yeah.
you know? I mean, they're, you know.
On a normal, you know, weekday, if I'm making dinner, you know, if I'm making vegetables, I might just, you know, throw some Brussels sprouts on a pan with some shallots and salt and pepper and oil and just put them in the oven. But for the holidays, I like the idea of, you know, dressing them up a little bit. And maple is very, very good.
So maple is going to be certainly more in your, on your menu than pumpkin.
There will be, oh yes. Yeah, there
wow.
won't be, I don't think think we have any pumpkin. In fact, I don't even like pumpkin pie. If someone offers to bring a dessert, I'll say to them, like, oh, you can bring a pie. And usually they'll bring a pumpkin pie and maybe, like, one other kind.
I love
it. Ordering pies, I would order, like, a cherry pie. Or I'm not a big pumpkin pie.
I have to stay true to my pumpkin mistress. But here's the other thing. We were talking about Thanksgiving, and what was that you found from Stovetop?
Oh my gosh, found it. I couldn't help. It's like everywhere.
Oh, really?
It's been covered. Oh my gosh. It's been like picked up by, you know, E! Online, People Magazine.
Oh, I didn't see these.
So Stovetop stuffing made these. I mean, if you think about it, it's actually a really great publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Because they've been all over the place. So they created these Thanksgiving pants. Okay, they're kind of like maternity pants in a way, because they're sort of like leggings, but they have this big, wide, stretchy panel that goes, like, stretches over your midsection. And they sold these for $19.98 a pair. Okay, and the idea is you put them on for Thanksgiving, because then when you're done with your Thanksgiving dinner, you know, you're not all constrained,
right,
and, like, popping out of your pants. So you have your Stovetop Thanksgiving pants. The band, the material on the band is a material that has, like, a stuffing design on it. It's like stuffing prints. And they sold out, like, overnight. Now, it was like one of those while supplies last things.
Right.
So who knows? Like, maybe they only made like 20 pairs.
Right.
But
right.
I am telling you, they got a ton of press. And when I saw this on InStyle magazine, and I thought to myself, okay, fledgling designers would kill to be covered in InStyle magazine.
Right.
And this got picked up on their website.
Wow.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that's like wearing, like, it is wearing.
Sharing it on Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of wearing like sweatpants or stretchy pants, but these are probably just a little more, you know, nicely made, a little more designer look, and a little more hipper than just wearing a pair of sweatpants from some, you know, big box store.
Well, I don't know about that. You did hear the part about how there was a stuffing print material.
Yeah, okay. Right.
They're not super classy looking, but,
yeah, but now, but
they do the job. They look like they could do the job.
Well, not only that, but they're so kitschy that they're probably like the ugly sweaters, you know?
Exactly. And they in their like promotion of this, they created this video that was done in the style of like kind of a 1970s infomercial, that's exactly the feeling they're going for.
Yeah.
There's like a huge kitsch factor.
Very funny.
Yeah, but you can't even get them. It's too late.
It's too late. Sold out. You have to get them on eBay.
So they were so big. Well, eBay, that's right.
They're probably $50.
Maybe next year.
They're probably $50 on eBay.
Yes, exactly.
Well, all I can say is, to your point, you're so over pumpkin, and you are way into the maple camp. And while I, in theory, say that I'm on the line, I guess you're judging that I'm also, I'm two-timing pumpkin.
I'm sensing, I'm sensing that you're.
Well, yeah. You know what? This is one indiscretion I don't mind, because I'm loving my maple. But I'm also trying to be as loyal as I can to my pumpkin. So I don't think, at the end of the day, it's two good spices. I still have to say, when all is said and done, oh, there's nothing like apples and cinnamon. Still my favorite, my favorite combination. Better than Abbott and Costello. Better than Laurel and Hardy. I love apples and cinnamon, but I'm telling you, maple is coming on the outside.
Yep.
We'll see. So, well, it sounds like you're going to have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great holiday to you and your entire family and all your friends there. And certainly say hi to my number one fan, James, and make sure that he's well fed and has a good turkey day, and we will talk to you next week. Go ahead.
I was going to say same to you. You know, happy holidays to everyone on your end.
Well, thank you, and don't be surprised if I don't go on eBay and find you a pair of those pants. Don't be surprised if you get a pair of stretchy pants,
at my door.
Some stovetop pants in the mail there, Emily.
Well, if I don't get them, I do still have the maternity pants at the back of my closet.
There you go.
Those are on standby. They'll be on standby just in case you can't manage
All
to
right. Very
score
good.
Me a pair.
Yeah, just have those by on the ready.
Yes.
All right. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Take care. Bye-bye. And so that wraps up episode 79 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, if Jasmine the producer remembers, a new episode is posted on Monday morning. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I had a good time. I hope you did too. This is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.